Our scripture today is from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. No one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows across where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "You are a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent into the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God."
Good morning. Good morning. Will you pray with me, please? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God. You are our rock and our redeemer. Well, this morning, there are so many things I love about our scripture today that Wendy read. It's a little bizarre, it's human, and it's ultimately about love. It's all of us. It's you, and it's me, and many of us are like Nicodemus. Many of us struggle with living out our faith daily because we have questions and the answers don't always seem to come. So Nicodemus visits Jesus at night. Now, he isn't a particularly prominent figure in our Bible stories, but we know that he is a leader, and he's probably middle class-ish, and Hal says he's Irish. Nicodemus. I told him, that won't preach. That won't preach, Hal. So we know that Nicodemus has questions related to faith. But what is he really asking? You know the type, leading questions as to avoid the specific reason for the inquiry or asking for a friend. So Nicodemus is having a faith crisis, and he asks questions of Jesus, and the answers that he's getting are not satisfying him. So listen to this brief exchange. Nicodemus says, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that are apart from the presence of God." Well, Jesus replies, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." So pretty good so far, right? This is a pretty typical ancient language, ancient exchange between Jesus and someone who's learning about faith. But this is where we start to scratch our heads. Nicodemus' response is, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Mothers, how do you feel about that? So, I think we have God to thank for that one. And there is a pretty lengthy further exchange where Jesus says this to Nicodemus. "You aren't listening." And then Jesus gives more examples. But the basic summary is this: God loves you. And life is so much better when you realize God is always with you. Boy, doesn't that sound simple. And it's true. We were made for love, and we were made to love. And so the answers that Jesus is giving are basically this: let go of what you know in order to be reborn, to be saved, or to be born again. Now, these are all terms we know, but we don't necessarily use. These are terms, born again, saved. Those are words that more of our evangelical traditions use. But it simply means let go of what you know, for the Spirit will be present and new beginnings are possible. That's the good news. Before I even started one class in seminary, we were told we would all go through a process. We would have to unlearn everything that we learned as a child growing up. We would have to relearn everything. And then we would have to figure out what we believed. That is a true wilderness experience. And we would not invite you to go into this wilderness if we hadn't done it ourselves. This is what Jesus is saying. Open yourself up to the possibilities for rebirth, so that developing that deeper relationship with God can happen. Now, this little bizarre exchange between Jesus and Nicodemus is a challenge for us to consider. It's a challenge because that means we have to let go of our certainty of who God is, and to experience God anew means stepping out with new eyes without the comfort of knowing exactly where it will lead us. This is why we invited you to the wilderness, to explore all that keeps us from being fully alive, to be reborn to new ways to see ourselves and God. And then we come to John 3:16 of our text today. You see it all over the place in sporting events and end zones, and TV cameras find people holding signs up that said John 3:16. And if this were happening in church, it would be the choir holding up John 3:16. It is, again, one of the well-known verses, and it says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." So while I'm sure you all recognize that, it's also many times misinterpreted, misunderstood, and misquoted. And it's used to incite fear. And that fear is, you must believe in Jesus or you will die. You must be saved. You must accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, or bad things will happen. The misinterpretation of this says that There is one way to believe, and then there's a right way to believe. And it is, this scripture has been used as the basis of many colonization efforts where we go in and to indigenous cultures and ask them to revert to our language, our culture, and our way of believing. And I know you all know that this or any verse should not be used as a weapon. But John 3:16 is alive and well today. So this morning, as Hal mentioned, open affirming churches take to the lawns of their churches to say to the people of Fort Collins that God loves us all. This is to take counteraction to the other actions of other churches who are coordinating anti-LGBTQ events. We demonstrate and add another voice to our literal evangelical friends to add context, because John 3:16 needs our context. After all, John is the most least literal of all the Gospels, because all of the Gospel writers were communicating about Jesus' life and teaching through their eyes so we could learn about faith. See, John 3:16 is not and was not intended to exclude, reject, dominate, or pass judgment on anyone. Jesus is saying that his love and our love is to be extended to all. Our belief system is one of radical inclusion. The conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus is about faith, spiritual growth, and learning about God's love so we can experience rebirth. We asked you to go to the wilderness this Lent season to reflect and keep in our hearts that notion that we can live fully into all that God intended us to be, to wonder and wander as we struggle to trust God enough to live without the absolute certainty of who God is. The reality is, every time you see John 3:16, know that it is not intended to create a belief system that if you believe one way, you are in, and if you believe another way, you are out. Because John 3:17 resolves the entire issue because we add context to our scripture today. You see, John 3:17 says this: indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So today, this afternoon, we add context. We add the context of John 3:17 to our world. We, Plymouth, add the voice of inclusion and love and our biblical understanding of faith. We are standing up to give context, to grow into the fullness of our faith. We go to the wilderness to search for that context. And this is the good news. The good news that our faith and our lives can thrive in the darkness of night, in the darkness of doubt, in asking the questions that stir up our hearts. Context is important, and Plymouth lives to make sure that that love of God is extended to all. I just heard Hal say amen. Couldn't pass that one up. And then he said, "Preach, sister." Maybe he can just preach. I'm loving this. Thank you. I love it. I do. So we march to demonstrate, to extend our love to all, and to be that important witness to the world. Because when we can trust God enough in the light of day, in the dark of night, we can grow into that love. And then rather than creating that belief system that you are in if you believe one way and out if you believe another way, we're going to throw that out the door and bring in John 3:17. May this be the inspiration to open ourselves up to the possibility of rebirth every single day. May it be so. Amen.